Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm grateful. I was having a rough time today trying to get myself focused. And as I was reading the word and studying the word and listening to the word, I heard another word, and it was God speaking to me. As he looks in our word today, stay focused on your assignment from God. It's what God gave me, because making sure that I moved forward today in this word of God. My assignment today was getting up and doing what I have to do for God. But I started getting distracted. I had three different things going on at once. And the message, so thanking Pastor Fred this morning. Pastor Fred came with a morning glory message today on staying focused. Sometimes you need someone to come at you from a word of God that you need it. Because the word that was today, our Old Testament Friday, is the fact that Ezra and Nehemiah and all the prophets came to say, wait a minute, we've got to get this in order. Esther, all of this was around the same time. Haggai, Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah were all books going on at the same time. Our Bible that we use, King James, New King James, are not chronological. So we don't understand that everything that we're reading, some other thing is going on in the Old Testament right along with it. And so when you go to the Old Testament and you stay focused, you realize, wait a minute, did I just read this? Yes, you did, because it was in a different book. And so I was having some issues. Keep me in your prayers. I have some nerve issues going on, some pulled nerves and, you know, this nerve and that nerve and all this stuff. And so I get tingly. But I understand, as God is guiding me, that I get tingly because God wants me to stay focused. And I realize when I'm getting off focus, all of a sudden I get tingly. So I'm all right with it because I understand where God is coming from. You know, God will not bring you to any situation unless he's going to bring you through it. He didn't send Ezra back to Jerusalem to build the temple and not make sure that it got done, as long as they stayed focused and did not allow the people around them to throw them off their square. We've got to stay focused on what God has for us to do. So thank you, the Fred. And it was just like everything just clicked and came into place. The tinglies are gone. Hallelujah. Because I understand that when you stay focused to do what God calls you to do, he will not bring you to it unless he's going to bring you through it. And I thank you. Ooh, I just thank you. Ooh, you know, I just want to thank Pastor Fred. Because sometimes you just need a push. You need a push to do what God has called you to do. You got to pray until something happens. You know, and you're in your prayer, you know that God is guiding you and leading you. So I thank God for putting people in my life that have been, right there on point. Right on point. So thanking God for friends. Thanking God for people in my life that are focused and doing what God called them to do. Grateful, thankful, and blessed to be a child of God. Grateful and blessed to know that God is in charge of everything. And he will guide you back to where you need to be. Whew! Thanking God this morning. Friends, thanking God this morning for his children. Because God is in charge of everything. And all we have to do is stay focused. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning. Thankful, grateful, and blessed that you pulled me back to where I needed to be through a word from God, through a word spoken through your prophet, Lord God, spoken to your man of God to show me where I needed to go. Ooh, I thank you, God, for this title this morning. I thank you, God, for the word I received this morning that poured into me this morning. I thank you, Lord, for Morning Glory Nation. And I lift up every member. Lord God, I ask you to watch over and bless the pop-up of tomorrow in East St. Louis, that traveling grace come to all those that are on their way. Lord, we thank you for not allowing the enemy to stop Pastor Fred and Minister Marcy from making their destination. Father God, we thank you for bringing Pastor Jesse and her family to their destination. But you know, Lord, where all of your ministers and your teachers and your pastors and apostles. Lord God, we thank you for Apostle Carl, and we wish him a happy birthday on yesterday, Lord God. We thank you for our children. Lord God, I lift up my little anointed youthful voices of praise who are phenomenal, Lord God. I ask you to continue guiding them and leading them that they want to work for your kingdom, God. Father God, I just thank you for Pastor Michelle, who is over our children's ministry, Lord God, as she has worked the work that you have called her to do for over 20-plus years, oh God, working with and helping our children to grow. Lord God, it is her assignment, and she's staying focused. Father God, we thank you for Evangelist Teresa, that you will continue watching over her. No more spills, no more falls. Lord God, that she is able to do what you have called her to do, to evangelize, oh God. He continues sending her those extended family members to watch over her and to help her in her times of need. Father God, we ask forgiveness and repentance for things you may have said or done against the divine majesty and against your teachers, preachers, and prophets, oh God. I ask you, Father God, to help us all keep our tongues behind our teeth, that we cannot, if we cannot speak something through it, then, Lord, help us to be quiet. As the book of Luke, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Lord God, we have to treat others the way we want to be treated. Help us to walk in that golden rule, not just talk about it as Christians, but be about it. Father God, I lift up this word this morning, this Ezra word that has touched my heart, that whatever you start, you can finish. Even with the distractions, even with all those folks coming against you, we must stay focused to complete our assignments that you give us, oh God. Help me to stay focused, God, this morning. Help me to do what you call me to do, and to do it well. In the name of Jesus, Father, I lift up this word to you this morning. I lift up again Morning Glory Nation pop up on tomorrow, asking you, Lord God, to give Pastor Fred and Reverend Anthony and Minister Marcy and all those that have planned this event, give them rest tonight, peaceful rest, oh God, that they will be revived and ready to do whatever you call them to do on tomorrow. I pray for safe journey for Sister Carolyn and I as we attend this event, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, continuously that you, oh God, are always the focus of whatever we do. And so, Father, as I pray every day, May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in thy holy and divine sight. Oh, hallelujah. For Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. I cannot do this. So as I decrease, Lord, I am given over to you to increase. And let these words be your words and not my words. In Jesus' name I pray, lifting up our nation, lifting up our planet, asking you, Father God, who to give us breath of life continually to help us to be better in how we treat others. Help us, Lord God, to stay focused. In Jesus' name I pray again. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it. It makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As the psalmist says, we got to praise God always. We're giving honor to God. We are coming this morning out of Ezra, starting in chapter 5. As we know, on yesterday, they were trying their best to keep them from doing the work that they were called to do. And we're going to go back into this letter. They sent a letter, those that wanted to hurt the children of Israel. You know, told them, you know, that they was trying to do all kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, it says, let us deal with you, so we seek your God as you do. The enemy always sends a subterfuge. Somebody that's a sneaky snake to slide in and get you off your square. And that was what was going on the inhabitants, as we all remember. You know, the king of Assyria was one that would take folks from one nation and stick them in another nation and tell them to learn the customs of this nation. So these folks are counterfeit, and I'm going to call them counterfeit Jews. They're counterfeit Hebrews. They're counterfeits. So they come in to try to knock off what God had called these men of God to come and do in Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. So they wrote a nasty letter saying that, you know, if you allow them to do this, then they gonna not do what you ask them to do. How they know they gonna rebel against you. They're not gonna pay their taxes. You know, and then then what happens? The king comes back and he says, this letter which you sent to us has been clearly read before me, and I give a command, and a search has been made, and it was found that this city in former times has revolted against kings, and rebellion and sedition have been fostered in it. There have also been mighty kings over Jerusalem who have ruled over all the regions beyond the river. And so he didn't look farther. He just looked for what he was looking for, not what was God's will. This is the king, King Artaxerxes. And it goes on to tell us, it says, take heed now that you do not fail to do this. Why should damage increase to the hurt of the king? Just lying. Starting stuff. And then it says, thus the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, because the king gave him permission to come back and tell the Jews to stop. They went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews, and by force of arms made them cease. So the enemy stepped in, like he always does, to throw a wrench in what God has planned. But, hallelujah, the Lord God has given us an opportunity to stay focused, to do what God called us to do. Because when you stay on your square and you do what God called you to do, I don't care what the enemy says, you're going to get it done. You just got to get started. And I'm speaking to me. I can't talk about anybody but myself. There are some things, some projects that I have to get started, that I have to complete. In order for God to bless me, I got to do some things for God. Hallelujah. We all have our assignment, and we must stay focused. Thank you again, Morning Glory Nation, this was a work I needed to do, the work God gave me to do. Hallelujah. Back on my square. Thank you, God. All the distractions are gone. And as we got into Israel chapter 5, it says, then the prophet, now, okay, God's sending the big-time prophets here. You know, hey, God, Zechariah, come on now. God ain't playing. When God sends the mighty prophets that he has, but we call them minor, but in this word, they are major because they got something to do. Hallelujah. You know, and it says to send the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them. At the same time, Tanai, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar, Baznai, and their companions came to them and spoke thus to them, who has commanded you to build this temple and finish this wall? Then accordingly, we told them the name of the men who were constructing this building. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so that they could not make them cease till a report could go to theirs. Then a written answer was returned concerning this matter. This is the copy of the letter that Tanai sent. The governor of the region beyond the river, Shethar Baznai, and his companions, the Persians, who were in the region beyond the river to Darius the king. They sent a letter to him in which was written thus, to Darius, or Darius. I call him Darius, but some call him Darius, the king, at peace. All peace. Start off nice. Let it be known to the king that we went into the province of Judea to the temple of the great God, which is being built with the heavy stones and timber is being laid in the walls, and the work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. Then we asked those elders and spoke thus to them, who commanded you to build this temple and to finish these walls? We also asked them their names to inform you that we might write the names of the men who were chief among them. And thus they returned us an answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and completed. But because our fathers provoked the God of heaven to wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldeans, who destroyed this temple and carried the people away to Babylon. Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to build this house of God. Also, the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple that was in Jerusalem and carried into the temple of Babylon, those King Cyrus took from the temple of Babylon, and they were given to one named Sheshbazzar, whom he has made governor. And he said to him, take these articles, go, carry them to the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its former site. Then the same Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. But from that time even until now, it has been under construction, and it is not finished. Now, therefore, if it seems good to the king, let a search be made in the king's treasure house, which is there in Babylon, whether it is so that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send us his pleasure concerning this manner. Woo! Trying to start mess, but look at God. Woo! Come on now. I'm getting all excited, y'all. I get, like, all giddy for the word of God, and I am all giddy that this is an awesome word. And then let's keep it going. It says, then King Darius, or King Darius, issued a decree and a search was made in the archives where the treasures were stored in Babylon and at Ecbatana in the palace that is in the province of Media. A scroll was found, and in it a record was written thus. Oh, hallelujah. Won't God do it? Won't God do it? Say it with me. God will do it. Yes, he will. Whew, come on now. Let's get this word in because it is so good. It says, in the first year of King Cyrus issued a decree concerning the house of God in Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt, the place where they offered sacrifice firmly laid, its height 60 cubits and its width 60 cubits, with three rows of heavy stones, one row of new timber. Let the expenses be paid from the king's treasury. Also let the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple which is in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be restored and taken back to the temple which is in Jerusalem, each to its place, and deposit them in the house of God. Now therefore, tonight, governor of the region beyond the river, and Shittar, Baznai, and your companions, the Persians, who are beyond the river, keep yourselves far from there. Ah! Bam! In other words, mind your business. Mind your business. Because that over there in Judah is not your business. What's going on in Judea is not your business. Stay far. What did he say? Keep yourselves far from there. Bam. Don't play. When you're trying to start mess, it'll come back on you. It says, let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God on its site. Ooh. Moreover, I issue a decree as to what you shall do for the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God. Let the cost be paid at the king's expense from taxes on the region beyond the river. This is to be given immediately to these men so that they are not hindered. And whatever they need, young bulls, rams, lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the request of the priests who are in Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet aroma to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also, I issue a decree that whoever offers that this edit, let a timber be pulled from his house and erected, and let him be hanged on it, and let his house be made a refuge heap because of this. And may the God who causes his name to dwell there destroy any king or people who put their hand to alter it or to destroy this house of God, which is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, issue a decree, let it be done diligently. Bam! Don't mess with God's people. And then as we continue this work, I told y'all it was great this morning. Then tonight, governor of the region beyond the river, Shethar Beznai, and their companions diligently did according to what King Darius had said. So the elders of the Jews built and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Abel. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, and Xerxes, king of Persia. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the descendants of the captivity celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. And they offered sacrifices at the dedication of this house of God, 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. They assigned the priests to their divisions and the Levites to their divisions over the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves, all of them were ritually clean. And they slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the descendants of the captivity, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Then the children of Israel, who had returned from the captivity, ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. They kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hand in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Hallelujah. What the enemy means for bad, God will flip it around for your good every time. All you got to do is believe and trust. They stayed focused. They said, we're going to build this temple. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you got to say. I serve God, and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to do the assignment that God called me to do. I'm going to stay focused on my assignments that God has called me to do. I'm not worried about what you say. I'm going to do what he says because he got more power than you. He is my God. He is my creator. He is my father. He is everything. Everything. Lord, you are, as I believe it, Patrick, Lord, you are my everything, my shelter. Woo, hallelujah. God is our everything. And I may be an Israel song because that's who I listen to the most. And I love everything you got. So thank you, Jesus, for awesome man of God. But I just say this, God is good all the time. Ooh, thanking God this morning. And thanking all of you for listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And as we continue, it says, Ezra 6 and 12, may the God who causes his name to dwell there, destroy any king or people who put their hand to alter it. When men once more try to stop the work that God had decreed, Ezra 5 and 3, the Lord used their opposition to further his cause. As children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. Take that to the bank. Hallelujah. And these are life lessons from Dr. Charles Stanley. We speak every day. We are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of New King James, and I always make this disclaimer. I am not being paid by InTouch Ministries, Dr. Charles Stanley, or anyone to hawk this Bible. But I will tell you, as I say every day, this Bible is one of the best Bibles to have in your biblical arsenal. You should have more than one Bible. You should not just have the one Bible that you take to church on Sunday. You should have a Bible where whenever you need a word, you can pick one up. You know, I'm just be honest, I got Bibles all over the place. I love the Word of God. And I want to know it. I want to study it. I want to touch it, feel it. You know, yeah, I can go to my cell phone. I can go to my iPad, my computer. I can go to all that stuff. But there's nothing like touching and feeling the Word of God in your hand. And I love it. You know, make sure, and I say this on Sundays, make sure that you go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. When you get this Word of God in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, it's God's Word. You know, I can come and tell you anything, but when I open this Word of God, it's coming from His Word. Get your Bibles. Get your Bibles. Have your Bible. Have a Bible for your car. Then when you're sitting at a stoplight, you can pull your Bible out and read it. Have a Bible you know, I'm sorry, in the other places that we go, that we might be there for a minute. Have a Bible in there. Have something. You know, whether it's, and I'm not, again, not hawking In Touch, but, you know, In Touch sends out a booklet every month. That is awesome. And I tell you, Dr. Stanley is a true man of God. And these life lessons and life questions are things that you really make you want to think. It makes you stop and think, and it gets you back on focus of what you're here for. We are here to bring others to the Lord. We are here to offer salvation through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We got to show love to get love. We got to show who God is. You know, as our kids were learning the scriptures, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. He created male, female. He created them. We are created by God in his image. And we got to remember that Genesis word. We got to know that as we go into the word in Psalms 139, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So I thank God for the words that we are given. I think so. We praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, we are made by God wonderfully. He did not, God don't make sense. But we got to stay focused. And back into our word in Ezra 6:16. Then the children of Israel celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. No life of faith is complete without regular celebrations of joy. His word to us, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Get happy for the Lord today. Don't let anybody knock you off your happy square. Because you are in the light of Jesus, everything else falls into place. Yes, the devil will come at you. Yes, things will happen. Yes, the demons of whatever can make a mess. But you know what? God is going to be with you when you start to clean it up. Because he is the one that will help you get through it. Father God, I'm believing for some cleanup in my life. Come on now. We all got some stuff that we need to put back in place. And it goes on to tell us in chapter 6, verse 21, then the children of Israel ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations. If we truly want to seek the Lord, we have to separate ourselves from the evil, unbelieving world. James reminds us that friendship with the world is enmity with God. James 4:4. We got to be careful who you allow in your friend group. Come on now, just gonna call it right. Who you allow in your friend group. You can't be all up in the world, one foot out, one foot in, one foot out, one foot in. We got to know who we belong to and act like it. You know, I am not one of them ones to say you can't have a good time. Because we can have a good time with God's people. We can have a good time with the Lord. It don't require you to go out drinking, smoking, and doing things that you know are not of God. God didn't tell you not to listen to music. God did not tell you not to dance. David danced out of his clothes. You know, but don't do anything that will cause your brother or sister to stumble, though. So if your brother or your sister can't deal with secular music, then don't play secular music around them. If your friend or someone that is in the faith cannot deal with whatever you are doing, we all understand the wine was drank in the Bible all the time. So if someone is having a glass of wine, don't get your parents in the bucket. Oh, they are drunkard. No, they're having a glass of wine. Because I don't drink, I'm not going to put my convictions on somebody else. That's my choice not to drink alcohol, even a glass of wine. That's my choice. But there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to say that. But God is not wanting us to become minos, and I said that yesterday. He wants us to be good and honest people. But we got to get out of the sanctimonious of all that crowd. We got to get into the loving your neighbor crowd. As you love God, you got to love your neighbor. That's what Jesus told us. You got to understand that everything works for our good when we trust in the Lord. In Ezra 6:22, the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them. As God has done with King Cyrus, he turned King Darius' heart toward the Israelites. So sometimes it may seem as if people in authority are acting without accountability. They are all ultimately responsible to God. You better catch that. No one can stop his good purposes. And if God chooses a pagan king to do his will, then he will turn the king's heart wherever he wishes and do as he pleases. Proverbs 21:1. And let's continue in this word, Ezra 7. And it says that now after these things, in the reign of Ezekiel, king of Persia, Ezra the son of Jehoiah, the son of Azariah, and the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Azariah, the son of Etab, the son of Amariah, and the son of Zariah, the son of Meriah, the son of Zariah, the son of Uzi, the son of Zekiah, the son of Ishbashah, the son of Phinehas, the son of Elijah, the son of Aaron. He just gave his whole lineage. Like, let me let you know who I am and where I belong in this hierarchy of things. The chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the Nethians, came up to Jerusalem in the 7th year of King Augustus. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king, on the 1st day of the 1st month. He began his journey from Babylon, and on the 1st day of the 5th month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. This is a copy of the letter King Augustus gave Ezra the priest, the scribe, expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Augustus, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. Whew. And it says perfect peace and so forth. I issue a decree that all those of the people and the Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. And whereas you are being sent by the king and his 7 counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem with regard to the law of your God, which is in your hand. And whereas you are to carry the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, and whereas all the silver and gold that you may find in all the province of Babylon, along with the freewill offering of the people and the priests, are to be freely offered to the house of their God in Jerusalem. Now, therefore, be careful to buy with this money bulls, rams, lambs, with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God in Jerusalem. And whatever seems good to you and your brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, do it according to the will of your God. Also, the articles that are given to you for the service of the house of your God, deliver in full before that of Jerusalem. And whatever may more may be needed for the house of your God, which you may have occasion to provide, pay it from the king's treasury. And I, Xerxes, the king, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in the region beyond the river, that whatever Ezra, the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, may require of you, let it be done diligently. Upon the 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil, and salt without prescribed limit. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it diligently be done for the house of the God of heaven. But why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also, we inform you that it shall not be lawful to impose tax, tribute, or custom on any of the priests, Levites, singers, Nethinim, as servants of the house of God. And you, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, set magistrates and judges who may judge all the people who are in the region beyond the river, all such as know the laws of your God, and teach those who do not know them. Whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily on him, whether it be death or banishment or confiscation of goods or imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and has extended mercy to me before the king and his counselors, before all the king's mighty princes. So I was encouraged as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I, leading men of Israel, to go up with me. Understand, Ezra is writing his story. This is Ezra's story. And he is the priest. He's a head priest, but he also has a prophetic gift. So he is speaking, and he's getting favor. Again, he stayed focused, and he's getting favor. And it goes on to tell us in chapter 8, these are the heads of their father's houses, and this is the genealogy of those who went up with me from Babylon in the region of King Xerxes, of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom, and of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel of the sons of David, Hattus of the sons of Shechaniah, and the sons of Parosh. Zechariah and registered with him were 150 males of the sons of Phesh, Kithith, Moab, Elion, Hanan, and the sons of Zechariah. Zariah, and with them 200 males of the sons of Shechaniah, then Azariah, and with them 300 males of the sons of Adin, Ebed, and sons of Jonathan, and with them 50 males of the sons of Elam, Jeshariah, the son of Ethaliah, and with him 70 males of the sons of Shephatiah, Zabadiah, and the sons of Michael, and with him 80 males of the sons of Joab, Obadiah, the son of Jael, and with him 218 males of the sons of Shelemith, then Josephiah, and with him 160 males of the sons of Bebai, Zechariah, the son of Bebai, and with him 28 males of the sons of Jonan, the son of Hakatan, and with him 110 males of the last sons of Adonikim, whose names are these, Eliphelet, Zariah, Shemaiah, and with him 60 males also of the sons of Bigri, Utah, Debed, and with them 70 males. And I gathered them by the river that flows to Havah, and we camped there 3 days, and I looked among the people, and the priest and found none of the sons of Levi there. Then I sent for Elijah, Ariel, Shemaiah, Nathan, Jared, Il-Nathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Mushroom leaders also for Joliarib and Elnathan, men of understanding, and I gave them a command for Ido, the chief man at the place, Kasifah, and I told them that they should say to Ido and his brethren, the Nethinim of the place, that they should bring us servants for the house of our God. And then it goes on to say, then by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Mili, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, named Sherebiah, with his sons and brothers, 18 men, and Hasbiah, and with him Josiah, of the sons of Mari, his brothers and their sons, 20 men, also the Nethinim, whom David and the leaders had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinim. All of them were designated by name. You know, everything falling into place the way it needs to, the way it has to, the way we must do what we do for God. And that is the whole purpose of this, doing what you do for God. Great dividends. They follow their assignment. Are you doing your assignment today? Are you doing your assignment? And this is what, you know, I kept coming through the word Nethinim. And I was like, okay, Nethinim. Who were the Nethinim? This is a question that I'm sure some of you are like, what is she talking about, the Nethinim? What is that? And what the Nethinim are, the name given to the hereditary temple service is all the post-exilian books of Scripture, the word means given. And the Nethinim are the servants of the temple. And it says Nethinim, or Nethinites, or Nethinians, was the name given to the temple assistants in ancient Jerusalem. The term was applied originally in the book of Joshua to the Gibeonites. Later in the book of Ezra, they are counted alongside the Avadai Shalomo. It is likely that the Nethinim descended from non-Israelites. And that is a word. But I'm not sure that is the truth. Because God did not allow too many folks to do the work that he wanted done that were not of the tribes of Benjamin, of Jacob. You know, that were not descendants of the 12. So anyway, that's just what I'm saying. But he goes on to say, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and for our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. And I separated 12 of the leaders of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed out to them the silver, the gold, and the articles, the offering for the house of God, which the king and his counselors and his princes and all Israel who were present had offered. I weighed into their hands 650 talents of silver, silver articles weighing 100 talents, 100 talents of gold, 20 gold basins worth 1,000 drachmas, and 2 vessels of fine polished bronze, precious as gold. And I said to them, you are holy to the Lord. The articles are holy also, and the silver and the gold are as we will offer to the Lord God of your fathers. Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leaders of the priests and the Levites and heads of the fathers' houses of Israel in Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord, So the priests and the Levites received the silver and the gold and the articles by weight to bring them to Jerusalem to the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambush along the road. So we came to Jerusalem and stayed there 3 days. Now on the 4th day, the silver and the gold and the articles were weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Miramoth, the son of Uriah, the priest, and with him was Elijah, the son of Phinehas. With them were the Levites, Jozabad, the son of Jehu, and Noadiah, the son of Manasseh. With the numbers and the weight of everything, all the weight was written down at that time. The children of those who had been carried away captive, who had come from the captivity, offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls of all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, and 12 male goats as a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. And they delivered the king's orders to the king's satraps, and the governors in the region beyond the river. So they gave support to the people and the house of God. And to go back and hit a few life lessons, it says this in Ezra, apply God's word. Ezra is a great example of what commitment to applying God's word can do for both an individual and a nation. The Persian king Xerxes gave Ezra permission to travel from Babylon to his ancestral home in Jerusalem. As a godly priest, Ezra felt compelled to improve the spiritual condition of the remnant of his people, and so he worked diligently to bring about several religious and cultural reforms among the discouraged countrymen. Ezra's life demonstrates the importance not merely of learning and knowing the word of God, but also of practicing how to regularly apply it in daily life. Because God had put him in a position of spiritual authority, Ezra also did everything he could think of to pass on to others what he had learned in his Bible study. Ezra wasn't just a hearer of God's word. He was also an effective and deeply committed doer of it. Hallelujah. And we know that's in 1 verse 22. Not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Ezra 7:25. Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, set magistrates and judges. The king did not grant Ezra all his requests simply because something odd came over him. He had been watching Ezra and recognized him as a man with God-given wisdom. Our behavior matters. Spiritual maturity requires spiritual preparation. It does not happen by chance or simply through the passage of time. If we wish to grow in God, we must prepare our hearts to do so. Ezra 7:28. I was encouraged as the hand of the Lord, my God, was upon me. God does it in a million different meaningful ways. He shows us that he is with us forever. The letter from King Xerxes was confirmation that he was doing God's will. God will also show us that we're on the correct course through his word, the counsel of other songs and other means that are significant to us. How does God show you that you're on the right track? Ezra 8:31, the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand ambush along the road. Ezra prayed not only for what we call traveling mercies, but he also that God might lead them on the way along exactly the right route. Would Ezra have arrived safely at Jerusalem without prayer? Would bandits have ambushed him or enemies attacked him had he not prayed? Because he did not want to find out. He fought and won those battles ahead of time through prayer. Prayer is life's greatest time saver. Hallelujah. Again, we got to push. We got to push. We got to push. And as we continue in our word this morning, in chapter 9 of Ezra, it says, when these things were done, the leaders came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the land with respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Egyptians, and the Amorites. But they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, so that the Holy Seed is mixed with the peoples of those lands. Indeed, the hand of the leaders and rulers has been foremost in their trespass. So when I heard this thing, I tore my garments and my robes and plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard and sat down astonished. Then everyone who trembled at the words of God of Israel trembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. At the evening sacrifice, I arose from my fasting, and having torn my garments and my robes, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God. And I said, oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been very guilty, and for our iniquities, we are kings and our priests have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land to be the sword, to get plunder, and to humiliation as it is this day. And now, for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. Whew. And to give us a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild his ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you commanded by your servants, the prophets, saying that the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanliness of the people of the land, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their impurities. Now, wherefore, do not give your daughters or wives to their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons, and never seek their peace or prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it as an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us, for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and have given us such deliverance as this, should we again break your commandments and join in marriage with the people committing these abominations? Would you not be angry with us until you have consumed us so that there would be no remnant or survivor? O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we are left as a remnant as it is this day. Here we are before you in our guilt, who no one can stand before you because of this. Then we'll finish up chapter 10 on Sunday. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Ooh, what a word this morning. Before we get out of here, one more time, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, before we leave. And the word for this morning is this. There are two ways to perfect the love of God in your life. By keeping the word of God, the love on others, love one another, love someone today. Have a fantastic Friday, family. Please join me on Sunday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, God willing. We'll be back together again. And we'll go over the life lessons from chapter 9 as we get into chapter 10 in our New Testament words. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is a wrap, and it has been a great way today. And one more time, all I say is stay focused on your assignments from God. Have a great day, family. I've finished my assignment, and it's time to go to work. My next assignment. Have a great day, family. And thank you all again for listening in. It's a wrap.